percolate on a particular mix of odd and inspiring news headlines in Wendy's Coffee House. Newsmakers with a penchant for the unknown, unexplained, and unusual share their experiences with UFOs, ghost encounters, near-death experiences, and more for your own unique blend of Wendy's Coffee House Curious. And now, here's Wendy.
Hey, thank you for tuning in. Glad to have you along. I've got the director of Third Eye Spies coming up this hour, so stick around for that. He's Lance Munguia. I've talked with him before, but it's now legit. You can see the entire film. This is no more promo, no more teasing. It's here. Plus, there's a special webisode every Wednesday, I think. Anyway, weekly. Lance is giving you some behind-the-scenes footage. We'll talk about that, too. I want to get real quick, just a few headlines. Okay, I can't help myself. This stuff doesn't make the mainstream headlines. And if it does, it's a feature or it's a throwaway and just kind of, oh, by the way. So the fact that this is hitting more mainstream and getting more airplay, I think, is encouraging. One of them, Bigfoot. Bigfoot tracks in Washington. Now, they say that could be just somebody out there with a pair of snowshoes. But if you look at the 35-inch between the length there between the prints, it's pretty impressive. Plus, they've got lots of stories of Bigfoot in that area. So that was a fun one. The other one, the UFO triangle. The security cam caught this in Simi Valley, California. And it's really cool. There was a storm going on, and sometimes that's an indicator that there might be some more UFO activity. And then the really, like, the big one for the week, the eagle, hole-in-one. The guy's golfing, all right? And the eagle lands right out there beside the golf ball. He starts picking up the golf ball, playing with it, and the guy's going, please, please, drop it in the hole, drop it, just. So, patiently or impatiently, he waits, and yes, the eagle drops it in the hole. He says, now, technically, he had to go and put a different ball there and play it, but that is going to be, for the rest of his life, the eagle hole-in-one. And that is almost as good, or maybe better, than the guy who was scuba diving and found himself in the mouth of a whale. I called it waiting to exhale, because that's what he did. He held his breath and thought, surely he's just going to spit me right out. It'll be okay. And yes, the whale did, probably just as surprised that he got a mouthful as that guy was surprised at being scooped up. So those are the highlights of the week. Now, there's one more. This comes into the realm of the alternative, the sci-fi scenarios we've had set up for us, what, the past 50 years or so. What's going to go wrong with artificial intelligence and augmented reality and virtual reality? Here's the start. Facebook can make VR avatars that look and move exactly like you. This is where it starts. Okay? Just keep that in mind. Now we're going into the stuff that might help keep us away or safe or maybe diverted from all of this other stuff. And it's theater of the mind, psychic spies, your psi ability. If you start working with that, maybe you can avoid some of this other stuff that's going on, because it's hard to lie with a psychic. Lance Munguia, director, along with the producer, Russell Targ, of Third Eye Spies. And this is absolutely, finally, astounding. That, how many years ago was it? Hey, Lance, thank you. I appreciate your time, and I'm so glad you guys got this together. I remember talking with you in 2017, and it was in the works. You were looking for a distributor, and now it's out. So congratulations.
Thank you so much, Wendy, for having me. It feels like an eagle hole-in-one.
Divine assist,
waiting,
yes.
For the ball to go into the hole, and it finally did.
Well, you had a lot of help, though. I mean, this is with Russell Targ behind you saying, okay, this is going to happen, and he has all the details. You know, this is incredible that you guys have so much information in here.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I mean, you know, Russell, you know, being one of the founders of the Stanford Research Institute Remote Viewing Program, who really sort of discovered and his subject, Ingo Swann, coined this term remote viewing, was really like a pioneer, you know, in sort of the psychic arena, you know, in terms of figuring out that this might be something that was useful to U.S. intelligence agencies. And, you know, one of the reasons the film took so long, we really wrangled some really amazing people to be in the film. And we, you know, tracked down some great interviews from people who had never been interviewed before about the subject that bring a lot of really, really needed legitimacy to the subject of, you know, the U.S. government's use of psychic abilities, which to me, in a much broader sense, sort of just speaks to who we are as human beings and what's really possible and what can be proven, because there's a lot of misinformation out there about this subject, and I think, you know, the time was ripe to really set the record straight about it.
Well, you have, and now when people go to the website now, there are some little quirks and perks that aren't in the film, but you have a web, your own web page on YouTube where you're offering the weekly series of Third Eye Spies Declassified.
That's right. We just released an episode yesterday, actually. Like, and I plan to start releasing things every few days, actually. There's several things up there. The one we released yesterday was just about Russell Targ's ESP training machine, you know, that he actually developed for NASA. It was one of the, you know, one of the reasons that the Stanford Research Institute program in psychic abilities for the government started was that he had made this kind of random number generator. It was a four-choice machine, and you were supposed to guess which one of the four choices was going to come up next. And he found that over time that just regular people could actually improve their scores, and it was something that, you know, didn't really make it into the you know, the full film, but one of the first test subjects for this was Wernher von Braun, you know, the former Nazi you know, rocket scientist who became the administrator for NASA, and you know, he took this to a conference for NASA, and he was showing it to these astronauts and stuff, and Edgar Mitchell was there. That's how he got involved, and Wernher von Braun did it, and he actually did really, really well with the ESP machine, and he wound up recommending that Russell receive funding, you know, to actually use this for NASA, and they did. And they found that the majority of the subjects, over 100 different astronauts that they trained for NASA, to sort of be able to think quickly on their feet and use their intuition to problem solve and things like that, could dramatically increase their scores on the ESP trainer. And now you can actually get it in the App Store if you have an iPhone. You know, he put a version of it up on the iStore. And there's a, you know, extra all about it on our YouTube page, which is youtube.com/WakingUniverseTV. You know, or you can type in my name, Lance Mungia, and that's M-U-N-G-I-A, into YouTube, and the channel will come right up. And yeah, I have hundreds of hours of this material that we shot over the years, and it didn't all, of course, make it into the film, but I really want to preserve it for history because I feel like it's a really unique, you know, documentation of a subject that really has gone unsung, and I think really has a lot to contribute to sort of the overall conversation, to both science and even to sort of, you know, what we think of when we think of our own reality.
That is what I wanted to get into, too, because some of this alongside this parallel stuff, and I've done deep dives into the people who were involved and that kind of thing. Ingo Swann, I really thought highly of him. I still do. And the book Penetration, I've read a lot of his work. The one of the quotes, it's all humans have clairvoyant sensing abilities. This is the reason they keep emerging in spite of any societal resistance to them. That's a quote from Ingo. And that was part of this film when Russell says, I think the quote is, if you try to hide something from a psychic, it's impossible because the more you try to hide it, the more it stands out. I'm paraphrasing. And that's what people need to know, that this stuff is real.
Yeah. Yeah, it is real. I mean, it's like, and that's not just coming from a belief or something like that. It's like once I really kind of started looking into the statistics of this, and not just at Stanford Research Institute, but places like Duke and Princeton's University and Cornell, and you know, studies that have been done actually all around the world for decades and decades. You know, there's a higher statistical data set in the reality of ESP than there is for aspirin. You know, and that came from the head of the American Statistical Society, Jessica Utz, who looked at all of the data when the program was shut down officially in the 1990s. And, you know, that's what she came back with. I mean, this is something that we all have, and it's not something scary. It's not something weird. It, you know, it's just a part of us being human beings. And that's really the thing that kept me going over the sort of long course of making this film is that I felt like we were really contributing to that conversation, and it's something that Ingo said, yeah, like, you know, back in the 70s, and also something that I think a lot of the great masters throughout history in terms of our religious texts and things like that have also said, you know, that this is just, you know, part of who we are. We're more connected than we really think.
Okay. Hang on a second. We're going to get into a little bit more. I wanted to ask you about some of the psychics that you covered. I think there's a spot in there with Uri Geller, and I don't know how much of that information is there, but I also have another observation between him and ETs, UFOs, that kind of thing. All right. Just because all this has a purpose and a reason, and Lance Mugia is my guest. He's the director of Third Eye Spies, Wendy's Coffee House, KCMO Talk Radio. Wendy's Coffee House, KCMO Talk Radio. Oh, that's like the movie, Arrival. That's what it sounds like, the background of that, before they make this amazing visual, and that's their language. Okay, but I digress. We're talking about Third Eye Spies, director Lance Mugia, and he did a lot of work, I mean, tons of work, getting this thing pulled together. And when I was talking with him in 2017, it was like, okay, we're almost there. We just need a distributor. It's in the works. It's coming on. And I was so excited because a lot of this information, some of it was completely deep-sixed. CIA documents were unavailable, classified, and some of the folks like Ingo Swann, who tried to paraphrase when he released any information in, you know, fiction form, that it wasn't real, maybe not. And then Uri Geller, who had to be quiet and said, yeah, you're right, I didn't do that. Nope. And as soon as that stuff got declassified, Uri was like cartwheels. I watched his, you know, his reaction, his response. Yes, slam dunk. I own it. I did it. Get over it. I love that. So he also says, I do believe in aliens. I do believe in UFOs. And Lance, this is when you're saying we have to know about our reality with this psychic spy stuff and the consciousness work that these guys have done. They were doing things we didn't think possible in terms of conscious knowing. Does that make sense to put it that way?
Yeah, it does. And I think what it does is it says that basically what this phenomenon of remote viewing says is that we are all connected to every other point in space and time through a mechanism that we don't understand, which is our own consciousness. And that's something that, you know, Uri Geller has talked about, something that Ingo has talked about, something that all of these people have talked about. And, yeah, they've all taken a lot of flack for, you know, sort of their role in sort of consciousness studies, which is, you know, not as hypothetically provable as other sort of mainstream sciences because you can't pinpoint and pin down consciousness. But what the evidence suggests, like someone like Ingo Swann, who can look out, who was asked to remote view Jupiter 6 months before the first probe, Pioneer, got there, and then accurately comes back with a description of ice rings and other aspects of the planet that nobody on Earth can confirm for 6 months until that probe confirms it. Mm-hmm. That suggests that basically you really are connected to every other point in space and time. And then let's extrapolate that out. If you're connected in that way, that means that we're probably looking in completely the wrong way for extraterrestrial intelligence. We're pointing radio antennas up in the sky, and the ETs are basically going, what are you guys doing? That's so incredibly primitive. We're right here in front of your face. All you have to do is basically use your imagination, use your consciousness, you know, to make that connection. It's like it suggests that contact would be something that is far more personal and far more sort of available because the power of your own thoughts and your own sort of conscious mind is not limited by space and time or by distance at all. I mean, in any sense. It's like, you know, dimensionally anything. So that's really what the evidence starts to suggest, and it really backs up what a lot of, you know, UFO experiencers have said. Like, you know, people will experience a craft flying overhead or something, and they'll get, like, impressions and feel like they have a connection to it. And it's almost like we have it totally backwards, where we're waiting for someone else to say hello to us, but we're not even picking up the phone and making the call. I think that's a really, really important aspect of this kind of work, and it's actually becoming a lot more mainstream in that it's very much like quantum physics and the fact that the observer really plays an effect in every experiment.
See, when you were doing the work on this, were there any pieces of the puzzle that really surprised you? I mean, the page when you've got thirdeyespies.com, when you're looking to see the film, the opening sequence here, there can be no secrets. And one of the segments shows the Russians. And somehow we got word that they were experimenting, and that's what triggered or inspired our work. Had there been any kind of work before we found out that they were advancing?
Oh, absolutely.
That?
I mean, the Germans were very interested in this. You know, in Nazi Germany in the 1930s and 40s, Hitler had a large sort of obsession with the occult in general, and one of the things they were studying were psychic stuff, and they found a lot of archives of material of him using this sort of thing that he had learned from, you know, people like the Tibetans, you know, who could use scrying and things like that. So there's you can go back to the ancient Greeks, you know, to the oracles, you know, to the Romans. You can go back to pretty much any great culture, had some use of oracles or, psychics, that would really be taken very seriously, you know, and now I actually think these days that it's purposefully minimized. Just the other day, there was an interview that came out that was supposed to be positive press for the film, and Russell did this interview, and I read it, and I was really disappointed because in the middle of the interview, you know, the reporter basically starts saying stuff like, "Oh, you know, the this was never proven, and it was all sort of just anecdotal, and it was very, the CIA reports came out that said that, the Targ was misquoting his subjects and things like that." And I'm like, I want to see the evidence of this because any time I ask someone about this, and I seriously would ask and say, where's the evidence that this has been, you know, not proven and misquoted? It's like there is no evidence. The only evidence you can point to is Wikipedia, which is written by volunteers that are probably paid off by the CIA.
It's your source.
It's bizarre. But I think that it ties in hand with the UFO phenomenon.
Yeah.
You know, that's really the fantastic thing is, you know, this is something that really affects everybody. And I'm so proud that this is sort of the first mainstream film now that is addressing this topic. I mean, we've been in the top five in one of the best-selling documentaries on iTunes for the last 3 weeks since the film came out. You know, and that's a tremendous accomplishment. It's all word of mouth because I think that people are really interested in this kind of subject matter. And this is a film that I believe really kind of upsets the apple cart when people are exposed to it. I've seen it happen again and again where people will go in, you know, rightfully, very skeptically, and they'll walk out and go, "Wow, you really opened me up to this. I got to go home and think about this now." You know, because it really changes your worldview. And the thing about the way that consciousness works, based on sort of all of the work that's been done in this area, it's viral. You know, and it's like one person opens their mind, and then another person, and another person, and it actually makes the ability easier to use in a sense. It's like we're blazing a trail for other people to follow with these types of abilities, and now you have this like really great tool in our film, Third Eye Spies, now available digitally all across the world. You can get it, you know, iTunes, Amazon, Google Play, YouTube, etc., and it's right there, so you can show your friends and say, you know, look, this is the reality of this, and it makes it really, really hard to keep suppressing this kind of information, which is great.
Part of it has to do with there's been such a long record and, you know, active attempt to keep this under wraps and in some way inaccessible to the general public. And when you're talking, you know, the social environment, if you tell your friends, "I saw a UFO," or you tell your friends, "Hey, I knew the phone was going to ring. I knew it was you." "Yeah, that's a one-off, big deal. And, you know, that was probably smoke." All this stuff, the immediate response is that discount. Because in a lot of cases, and especially I've been doing a lot of research with the experiencers and stuff, when they've had this experience, it's real, it's true, it won't go away. They can't make it disappear. And the only thing it's done is make their life crazy, because they're aware now, and the other people around are quietly saying, "Quit it. Go back to sleep. Don't make me change my paradigm." It's threatening, and it's scary, because it's an unknown. I want to come back, and when you talk about this with other people and how, you know, the reaction, you said you're going to be going, because you're not done yet, in a new direction for the next film. So I want to see where we're going from here, from Third Eye Spies, because you've opened a can of worms. And Uri Geller says he was, when he was like 3 years old, he had an ET experience. That's a fabulous wormhole, okay? Or a rabbit hole, depending on your perspective. It's a mystery. All right, Lance, Are you ready for that for the next break?
Absolutely.
Okay. So Lance Mugia, he's the director of Third Eye Spies. You can get it now. Check it out, thirdeyespies.com. And don't forget, do the webisodes, because these are little excerpts that didn't make it to the film but are worth their weight in gold. If you have any psi ability, great. If you don't, you might be able to develop it. Just pay attention and suspend your disbelief. That's where it starts. Wendy's Coffee House, KCMO Talk Radio. Wendy's Coffee House, KCMO Talk Radio. Thanks for tuning in. My guest, Lance Mugia, is the director of Third Eye Spies. I'm so glad this stuff is seeing the light of day. It's being, in some way, shape, or form, introduced, in some cases for the very first time, to an audience who is ready to hear that these are abilities they have. And if you don't have the ability right now, again, being around somebody else who does at least gives you an idea that it isn't all hocus pocus and it isn't all fiction. It's actually abilities that we have yet to develop. Telepathy is one of them. And we were talking about Uri Geller. And the reason I brought the ET stuff into it was because there's more to this when you're talking consciousness. And so when you were around all these people and around this information, how did that expand you? How did that awaken or open you up to a greater awareness?
You know, part of this whole subject matter is that it's about personal experience. And I didn't want to become, you know, a remote viewer or get like heavily into the experience as I was making the film, because I sort of took on the responsibility that the scientists that earlier took on, which was to sort of try to be the impartial observer. But at the same time, you know, throughout my life, I've had plenty of psychic experiences and plenty of, you know, deja vu moments and sort of knowings and things like that. And what I found was that, that does really get amplified when you're exposed to this kind of stuff, because it's like a permission slip. It's like Third Eye Spies itself, you know, the movie becomes a permission slip to allow you to take this stuff seriously, because these are all very sober, real scientists that we interviewed. You know, there's over 30 different scientists in the film, you know, mostly PhDs, you know, people who have really seriously dedicated their lives to the study of consciousness and to psychic abilities. And it really does sort of open up your view of the world. And I think I left really a changed person. I'm still a skeptic in some senses, not particularly for this topic, but you have to remain discerning
yes.
in who you are as a
yes.
as an artist and as a human being, because you can't just bite off everything whole cloth. You have to you know, understand that within the truth there's always levels of gray, you know. But the evidence was so overwhelming for ESP and for remote viewing that I'm really much more of a enlightened skeptic now, as opposed to just a skeptic, because you know, it does open yourself up. But even when you have these types of experiences, you'll have an experience. Maybe you'll see a UFO in the sky, or you'll know that someone's going to call before they do, and you'll pick up the phone or whatever. But you still doubt, you question it, because you think, oh, maybe I'm just nuts. Like, you know, maybe this is just some, you know, crazy thing that I'm thinking. But no, it's not. I mean, this is something that is very well documented. And when you sort of understand that, and you understand the work that's been done, you know, then it really does act like a permission slip that opens up your reality a little bit and allows you to sort of examine this kind of stuff more seriously, you know. And I think there's so much cachet that sort of the status quo has in sort of the humiliation of studying this kind of thing. Oh, that's nuts. What are you doing looking at that stuff? I had people tell me that during the course of the making of the film. It's like, oh, you're going to ruin your career. What are you doing? You're looking at this subject matter. And you know what? No, you know, no. This is there really is a high demand for this kind of material, because people inherently know that there's something to this, and you cannot, you know, sort of ignore the facts, really. You know, no matter how much misinformation gets put out there, you know, that there is really something to this subject matter.
Well, for several years, Joe McMonagle, one of the remote viewer psychics, discounted or, you know, played down his psychic aspect. And then recently I've seen more things saying that, you know, he's a very gifted psychic. A lot of that, there was a stigma, even though these guys did what they did at higher levels. And I think part of that was to keep the program quiet. They were, you know, under agreements not to disclose anything. And then at the same time, society wasn't ready to hear it.
Yeah, I mean, what these guys did, like Joe McMonagle, for instance, is a fascinating case, because you know, Joe Mamano, who appears in our film, was the Army's first remote viewer. The Army had a remote viewing unit at Fort Meade, Maryland, you know, with intelligence. And he was given the Legion of Merit Award for his work in remote viewing for hundreds of cases that he was able to solve through remote viewing that were cold cases that nobody else in U.S. intelligence could crack. I mean, you know, one of the stories in the film is about his discovery of of the largest submarine ever built in the world, the Typhoon-class Russian submarine at the time, you know, that he identified in a place where it was completely unexpected, and everybody thought that he was completely off, but he nailed it, and the CIA confirmed it through satellite photography and basically got a picture of this thing with all the bay doors open, you know, with tons and tons of intelligence that they never would have gotten otherwise. And you can't tell me that that's not useful or real or somehow misjudged or misquoted or you know, like whatever. It's something that actually occurred, and the person that Joe was doing the remote viewing for was Robert Gates, who was the head of the CIA at the time, later became Secretary of Defense. And when the program was kind of publicly outed, Gates came on TV on Nightline, which is in our film, and says, you know, oh, this was never useful. We never did anything with this. It was just something we kind of played with. But operationally, thumbs down. And that is just so completely opposite of what actually occurred, you know. And the history books will bear that out now. And so I'm glad that we were able to contribute that to the conversation.
Well, and for people who think that might have gone away and that interest is, you know, no longer a part of our military, I thought it was great when the military released a press release on developing Spidey Sense, more than a feeling that they were trying to get a group together that explored and expanded whatever awareness that they might already have. And I, you know, this kind of stuff is our own knowing. And until we start exploring and getting permission, you know, from our cohorts, from our social, our connections, then it becomes taboo. But I think that's changing, and your film is part of that.
It is. I mean, we were actually, I just got a call from a friend the other day that works at a big box store as a quality inspector, and she said, I was in the lunchroom the other day, and there was this man sitting in the lunchroom, and he was going off about this amazing film that just completely blew his mind and changed his view of reality, and it was called Third Eye Something, and it was on iTunes. And
Oh! Yeah,
so I thought, oh, man, that's awesome. You know, like, if we're talking about it around the water cooler, you know, then that's really great, and that says that we've tapped into something. And I think that, you know, from that aspect, I think the film is really a valuable tool, and you know, to just, and part of the fun of it is you turn it on and you say, okay, well, let's look at this and see what kind of evidence there is, and then by the end you realize there's a bunch of evidence and you haven't been told about it, and you really do deserve to know about it.
Okay, so when you're talking about some of these experiences and stuff, you interviewed Edgar Mitchell?
Yes. Edgar Mitchell was in the sixth man to walk on the moon, you know, Apollo astronaut, and he founded the Noetics Institute, you know, now run by Dean Radin, which studies, you know, consciousness and paranormal abilities. And we actually have his last interview in the film. He passed away in 2016, and this was a really big concern of Russell Targ, the producer of the film, you know, who's getting older, and all of the people involved were in the original programs were getting older. And so we wanted to really preserve that testimony in the same way that you would preserve something from like Shoah Foundation for the Holocaust, for example. Not that this is like the Holocaust, but it's something that is so unbelievable that if you don't have the firsthand testimony of people who are involved in these experiments for the government and the operational work for the government, then it's almost like it doesn't count. Because, I mean, I can show you pictures all day long, but if the people that were actually there and took part in this aren't there to testify for it, then, you know, you don't really have much. And the thing that makes this really unique compared to just sort of a contemporary remote viewing or a psychic today is that they had the entire weight of U.S. intelligence behind everything that they did. This was not just some small $20 million program, you know, hanging out at some lab somewhere. You know, they were using every aspect of U.S. intelligence to confirm what they were getting. You know, they had every satellite analyst. They had every intelligence asset on the ground, you know, confirming what was done. And that's completely unique and verifiable situation that you would never get anywhere else in the world. You know, you basically had this amazing apparatus confirming the existence of ESP again and again over a 20-year period and doing it really, really well and operationally.
Okay.
So that is awesome.
Okay, hang on a second. Lance Munguia, the director of Third Eye Spies, we're going to come back. I want to talk about this. This is a catalyst. It gives you, this isn't just about a story. It's about a beginning, a sequence, an opportunity for us to expand our horizons. Going to come back. Russell Targ has some books because this is kind of a springboard to get more into this if you're interested. Wendy's Coffee House, KCMO Talk Radio. Wendy's Coffee House, KCMO Talk Radio. My guest, the director of Third Eye Spies, Lance Munguia. And this is an amazing thing. There is so much information here that finally legitimizes a lot of stuff that people have been hinting and teasing and saying, well, we think it's real, but we don't know. And, you know, when you're hearing the stuff from the Monroe Institute in Virginia about Joe McMonagle and the other stuff that they do with HemiSync and being able to open your mind, expand your horizons and all that, it's like, well, is it real? Okay, this is it. This movie says, yes, it's legit. Third Eye Spies. You can get it. It's all over the place. The best thing you can do, according to Lance, is give a review, okay? Say that you saw it. The springboard, though, is that this isn't just it's a movie and it's done. It's a movie and it's an introduction. So if you are interested and you know you've got abilities, or at least you want to check out what abilities that you might have, The Reality of ESP. These are books from Russell Targ, and it's great to see this whole support system. Do you see what I see? Another book, Miracles of the Mind. I've got that one. Lance, I am so glad that you're doing what you're doing. What else can we do to help you?
Oh, definitely tell a friend about this movie. You know, this is a movie that was done without a large marketing budget at all. You know, we're distributed by The Orchard, but there was not a lot of marketing involved, and it's all word of mouth. So this is about, like, you know, please, you know, tell somebody about this movie, post it to Facebook. You can go on our Facebook page, and there's lots of ways you can share it with friends, you know, if you go to thirdeyespies.com. And of course, the YouTube channel. I mean, by subscribing to, you know, the YouTube channel, you know, under my name, Lance Munguia, or, you know, Waking Universe TV is the URL for the YouTube channel. That all is really, really helpful in getting the word out about this, because we really need this information to go viral so that it can't be suppressed again, because it has been suppressed for a long time, and I think with good reason to the intelligence community, but not good reason to sort of overall science and overall humanity. So, you know, there needs to be more work done on this, and just by spreading the word about this is, if you enjoy the film, you know, just please, you know, write a review and tell somebody. It's on Amazon, it's on, you know, Google Play, Xbox, you know, every cable service where you can do video on demand. This is the first film about this subject matter that has ever been released. The people in this film often were undercover physicists working for the government. They have never come forward. People like Ken Kress and Kit Green, who were CIA high-ranking, you know, program managers of this, and they were all haunted by what they found, and I think it really changed them as human beings. And this is a film that's going to really make you look at the world differently and upset the apple cart a little bit for some people, which is a good thing, because the apple cart should be upset.
It's about time. And, you know, just growing pains, getting from point A to point B and expanding our awareness and opening up our abilities to be telepathic and, you know, connect with more than just people, but animals, the whole nine yards. Okay, so this brings us to that's where that film goes. And if they sign up on the website to be connected, then they're going to also be able to follow you, because you've got another work in progress that you're planning now.
Right. I mean, I'm going to be doing something, you know, another film soon about the efficacy of consciousness and how it is not confined just to this planet. You know, we can see anywhere, and that includes talking to, you know, extraterrestrial civilizations. It also includes talking to the afterlife. You know, one of the sort of real things that came up with through this work is that your consciousness does not just exist in your body. It exists everywhere. It's kind of like the difference between being a particle and a wave. And if that wave exists everywhere, then it means even when you die, that there's some aspect of your consciousness that may really live on in a true sense. So my next film is going to really address those topics. And, you know, the UFO phenomenon, the fact that, you know, you can actually create encounters with extraterrestrials if you just quiet your mind and you're open to it. You know, it's like we have this constantly ringing phone that we just don't pick up, and that's the power of our own minds, the power of our own consciousness. So it'll be about that.
A lot of it has to do with knowing the difference between the monkey mind, you know, you telling yourself, I should have done this, I could have done that, what dress should I wear, or what shoes, or do I have the right brand, instead of going like, is this a good direction? Point A, point B. And if you're quiet, then those things, like this morning before the alarm went off, I heard this in my head, you know, take a right. Well, that's where the phone was, right, and the alarm is on my phone. Placed strategically far enough away from the bed so that it's not, you know, blasting me with all those microwaves. Anyway, but that those kinds of things are subtle. They're subtle, and you hear them more when you don't have all that monkey mind stuff, just, you know, clouding the vision.
It's the still, small voice within. You know, if you have a loud, blaring voice in your head telling you to do something, you know, or scaring you, or whatever, then you're not in balance. You know, they found that the best remote viewers were people who were not the wild-haired psychics wearing turbans with crystal balls. They were just normal people who were good at other things, who had great social interaction, who were very grounded. You know, you need to be very grounded to be able to truly access this skill in a real way. You know, so it requires your life to be in balance. And so it's the people who sort of already have sort of gotten that technique down in terms of just life in general, those tend to make the best remote viewers. And that's what they found again and again. And it's never something that is scary or outside of your control. I don't believe that there's you can use psychic abilities to create problems for other people, or you know exactly what the president's going to have for lunch and where they're going to sit or something like that. The ability doesn't work that way. It's much more subtle and quiet. And you know, you're not supposed to label what you're seeing. You just write it down. It's something that is a skill that is very imaginal. You know, it requires using our imagination, and we could all use a little bit more imagination, right?
Well, yeah, and allowing that to be an unknown. The one thing I know from doing, you know, various exercises and attempts with remote viewing is you can't jump to conclusions. You can't prejudge. You have to allow it to be arbitrary, you know, kind of a neutral, and then see what comes from that. Otherwise, you're projecting, and that's not a prediction. That's a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Right, and we're so set in our ways, and it seems like the more we sort of get into this kind of digital environment where we are not connected in person, we get even more set in our ways, where we're not really talking and open and listening. And so much of this is about listening. I once heard someone say that you know, prayer is the act of talking to God, and meditation is the act of listening for the answer. And you know, we got to take some time and just listen to each other and listen to sort of forces that are, you know, connecting us to a higher power in a sense. You know, and just take the time to do that, and then you find that your consciousness just opens up, and you're also, you know, one of the byproducts of interviewing, you know, a lot of these guys who were ex-Vietnam vets, you know, grizzled, you know, big guys, and or these kind of really brainy scientists who were very much in the material world, is that over the years it seems like it's really mellowed them. I think it mellowed me too. It's changed me as a person, you know, making this film, because it's exposed me to sort of the infinite in a way, you know, in a way that you need a poet to describe this kind of stuff in a way.
All right, we're going to have to go. Thank you, Lance. Thank you. I appreciate all of your information, all of your work. I'm looking forward to the next film. In the meantime, though, if you're listening, ThirdEyeSpies.com. Check it out. You might surprise yourself. Like Ingo Swann says, all humans have clairvoyant sensing facilities. And this is the reason they keep emerging in spite of any societal resistance. Okay, we've got them. Use them. You don't have to win the lottery, but that would be nice. Thanks,
Lance. Thank you, Wendy. Thank you, everybody. Bye-bye.
Okay, and check out the blog. I'm going to put some links here for you at wendyscoffeehouse.com. So just, you know, follow along there. In the meantime, though, stay curious. Suspend disbelief. There's a fabulous reality here. See ya.